So as I said, I'm Daniel Lewis. The title of my paper I'm presenting today is Reducing Particulate Matter Concentrations in Simulated High Temperature Gas Streams. This is focusing on a project we're working at A&M with Dr. Purnell and Carol McGee with gasification of cotton gin trash, where we're going to be producing electricity, add gin to take the gin off the grid, and just become self-sufficient. But I'm focusing mainly on the actual cyclone to remove the biochar from the syngas stream. So, I know we haven't heard enough, but a little introduction into gasification. Well, the project we're working on, we're taking biomass, being the cotton gin trash, feeding it in to this reactor. I'm going to use the mouse as the pointer. There. Feed it in here, where its bed's being fluidized by the incoming air at the base, and it's reacting at the 1400 degrees Fahrenheit, producing the gas stream, which can fuel a generator set. However, for that to happen, we need to remove the 20% of the gas stream that is biochar, leaving the 80% to go into the internal combustion engine. So, the objectives I'm focusing on now with my thesis, my project, are to test cyclones at an inlet velocity going from 3,000 feet per minute to 9,000 feet per minute, and to have a feed rate of 10 grams per minute going into the cyclone, which is going to represent the fluidized bed gasifier that we're using in our project right now. It's kind of the main focus of what I'm doing. And the third thing I'm working on is the optimal cyclone length, because at these higher inlet velocities, we have hypothesized that the natural length of the cyclone will increase. And without allowing for the cyclone to be longer, it will cause compression of the strands and have particle reentainment and become an issue and lower our efficiency. So I'm going to break those three objectives down and give a little background on each one of them. Cyclones are commonly used in the agriculture process industry. Two main ones that we traditionally use are the 1D 3D and 2D 2D. They have an inlet velocity of 3,000 feet per minute, both six number of turns, and natural length of 3.5 D. Now, that's a term I said before. What that's measuring is from the base of the inlet to the base of the cyclone, that distance. That is also the physical distance of the cyclone. So both of these, the physical length and the natural length, are the same. That is what we believe. So we're going in adjusting that for this method because the natural length is supposed to expand. We're estimating it to increase and reach further down the cyclone. And that's what we're allowing for. So, and then, well, as I said, you know, I just talked about this slide, sorry. At standard temperature and pressure, well, 3,000 feet per minute, with a density of 0.075 pounds per cubic foot. However, we get down to this 1,000 degree range, density is going to be almost a third of what it is at standard, which is, in effect, tripling our airflow and our velocity. That's how we have the high inlet velocity of these cyclones, because cyclones are designed at standard conditions. So that's one area we're focusing on. Next is the particles that we're seeing. I'm using the same dust or same biochar that was used in previous research by Shane Shoshay that I'm following up on, where he found that he can get a high efficiency with cyclones using this char at high loading rates. And the characteristics of this char is its MMD is 34 microns, so 50% of the char is greater than 34 microns, and 50% is less than 34 microns. It has a GSD of 2.2 and a uniform particle density of 2.1 grams per cubic centimeter. And this data was collected, I'll go into the background on it, with the culture counter we have at Texas A&M. And we have the measured, we have 300,000 samples right here in the blue line. And then we average it out to have a theoretical line right here where this characteristic is made off of. Alright. Putting all that together, we altered the testing system from the previous research that Shoshay was doing into this new method. We're having char being fed in with an auger at the 10 grams per minute. Going into the cyclone, coming through here, plan is for all of it to be captured, but what does penetrate is going to be captured through the filter housing right here. I know this is probably not legible to y'all, the font, so sorry about that. But unique about this, which is different than the previous research, is I'm pulling the air through instead of pushing it. It's on the vacuum side of the pump. And that's a little different. Another big difference is this part. This right here is the vortex inverter, which is what I'm going to be talking about today on my preliminary update or what I've done so far. I found that where this is located inside the barrel of the cyclone makes a huge difference on cyclone efficiency. I can't keep that mouse up there. All right. So if you look here at this, this is a comparison of two different runs with the vortex inverter at two different places. And just kind of estimating where the natural length would be and then just where the initial base of it. You can see here on the left and on the right, they look a little different. I like to say these tests we ran for the same amount of time, but we didn't. The one on the left here, or this one, this is after about a minute and a half of running the system. And these filters clogged up, and we cannot run the system anymore. The fans would choke up, and it just clogged. Pressure drops went all out. So we found out where we had the vortex inverter placed for these tests was not going to work. The efficiency was terrible. However, whenever we adjusted the vortex inverter to height that we estimated the natural length to be, we had these two, where they are about a tenth of a gram apart, and the efficiencies up around 99%. And it made a huge difference just by a little change, by moving that cone up the barrel. And to talk about that 99%, test I've been able to run so far ran into issues with having a fan that's has capable of pulling that much air through the system with the pressure drop that we're seeing. So I haven't got up to 9,000 feet per minute yet. Right now I've reworked it with a bigger fan, bigger pump to pull that much air through. So right now I'm just going to talk about 3,000 feet per minute and 6,000 feet per minute. And you can see the efficiencies all right here are all above 99%. And the location A and location B, I had two estimates where location A is where the vortex inverter should be for the 6,000 feet per minute. And location B is where the vortex inverter should be for 3,000 feet per minute. So you see at 3,000 feet per minute, it's the same. It's not affected by the actual inlet velocity at that point or where the inverter is located. However, whenever you get to 6,000, you can see it drops down a little bit, but it's still both 99% efficient. It's using this method to estimate it, I don't know. I'm really proud of these efficiencies. All right, so going to the summary, the vortex inverter placement is significant, and that was surprising to find from this data, or these tests. And obviously I need a lot more future work. I need to get up to testing at the higher inlet velocity of 9,000 feet per minute, which is the goal of this project. And I need to find the placement where we get the best placement of the vortex inverter and have the highest efficiency with the highest inlet velocity. And the plan for this is to have a cyclone into the system with the gasifier hooked up by the end of the year, and actually running it and having an actual high temperature test. Everything I've done now is at standard temperature and pressure, or standard 70 degrees outside air, because running 1,000 degree air in a plexiglass cyclone doesn't work. Apparently, Dr. Pernell said I couldn't do it. And of course, acknowledgement, Dr. Pernell, Colonel McGee for walking me through this and allowing me to do the research. Cotton Chair, Texas Cotton Genders, Cotton Incorporated, and AgriLife Research and student workers were a lot of help doing all this. So questions? Yes.
Grams per meter cubed. What was the concentration in the concentration?
It varied from the two. If it was the 40 or 25 CFM, I don't know those off the top of my head. I'm sorry. They're in the paper, so I can get the tea later. I just didn't write it down. Yes, sir.
How fast are gins moving the trash right now? So, like, what kind of upgrade would a gin have to make to be able to burn?
This is doing the biochar. It's not gin trash. It's the byproduct of gasification of cotton gin trash.
Okay, so you got the char first,
and
then move it.
Yeah, so it's only the char that we're affecting with this. It looks like black graphite. It's real small particles. It's just powder, dust.
You don't want to leave it.
Well,
apparently.
Follow up on that, if you are gasifying gin trash, what yield of biochar would you typically expect?
20% of the mass fed in. So, like I said, we're doing a one-to-one 1 pound of gin trash to a pound of air. That's just an estimate, kind of where we're at. It's, so for that, we'd be producing 0.2 pounds per minute of biochar. And that's kind of how we got with the 10 grams per cubic, 10 grams per minute of feeding the cyclone for this scale project. So. Any more?
Thank you, Daniel.
All right.